Well, as we turn together to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and those first 14 verses that Pip read out earlier on, we turn to the application of the first three chapters. In those first three chapters, Moses, with the people on the threshold of the promised land, has been reminding them of what went on 40 years previously when they were there. He's been taking them back, and as God has spoken to the people through Moses, he has reminded them. And we might think this is not a particularly kind of motivational thing to do these days, but it has reminded them of where they went wrong, of their failures. And he's doing this, and it's going to come after the long exposition of the law as well, towards the end of Deuteronomy. He's doing this so that they might learn to trust him for his mercy and faithfulness, so that they might learn their own frailty and their own weakness, so that they will not, in fact, trust themselves, but trust God, so that they will not lean on their own ability to obey, because they don't have any, but they will lean on God's mercy and the faithfulness of God's promises that he gave to Abraham, and he's actually going to fulfill in Jesus Christ. So in one sense, Deuteronomy is, here is the law. Don't trust yourself to obey it. God knows your hearts, and he knows what you've already done. You should read your own track record and see. So trust in him to save you and to keep you. And of course, it's just that little reminder to us, isn't it, that Deuteronomy comes after Genesis, and it is in Genesis that we learn that we are right before God by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. 430 years after that, the law was given, and 40 years after that, it's been given again. So we're 470 years after it has been established that we live rightly with God by faith in him, not by our own track record of obedience, which, if we look closely, is not going to be that impressive anyway. So here's the law, which is also the gospel. Here's the law doing exactly what Paul talks about when he writes the church in Galatia, churches in Galatia, who were tempted to think that they could live with God by keeping the rules and obeying and doing the commands and all that kind of thing, and not obeying, not believing in God, not being righteous by faith in Christ. Paul writes to those Galatian churches who were tempted by the legalism with which we might often read Deuteronomy, and he says, "No, the law is like a schoolteacher to lead us by the hand to the gospel, where we find Christ." So Moses is doing precisely that kind of thing in Deuteronomy. He does it very, very powerfully. The law takes the people by the hand and leads them to faith in God and in God's promises. Well, he's, in the first three chapters, gone over the history of their escape from Egypt, but principally their turning back from God's promised land 40 years previously, their wanderings, and what went on in that time. Now he comes to the application. We've had the history. We've had the picture of their failures and of God's faithfulness. Now comes the application in this sermon. And we see that the tenses all become present tenses, don't they? So hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them. So this is what happened. Now this is what you've got to do. And of course, the application is essentially, don't do what they did. Don't do what they did. Don't turn back, which was one of those sort of key phrases to describe the children of Israel previously. Don't turn back or turn away, but, key word in four, follow. It's just like we're thinking of with the children. Don't turn back and go your own way, the way of disbelief, the way of me first, the way of I know better than God. Don't turn back. Follow. And so Moses begins a sermon. Now, we're actually not going to begin at verse 1. We're going to begin at verse 5, because there's a kind of a progression of thought here, which, and we all know that the way we speak or write doesn't always reflect the order in which we think things. So there's just a little progression that I want us to notice. Moses teaches so that. There are three sort of "so that" phrases in our passage, by the way. They don't all say "so that." Two of them say "so that," but one of them in verse 6 says "for," but it amounts to the same thing. There are these three sort of "so that." You know, why is something happening? Well, it's happening so that. The first one that we just notice is, why is Moses teaching? And I just want to mention this in passing, in case we've lost track of this for ourselves and Gilk and Sundays and Wednesday evenings, and why teaching happens. Verse 5, "See, I have taught you decrees and laws, as the Lord my God commanded me, so that..." Now, the "so that" is not so that you might know more stuff. I haven't taught you so that you can have your heads filled with more information, Moses says. Or that's one of the reasons that we might put in there. The Word of God is not being taught so that people can sit down and carry on talking about the Word of God and just do that. The Word of God has not been taught so that people can say, "Oh, I listen to good teaching." The Word of God has not been taught so that people can somehow or another just turn the Word of God into an intellectual or a conversational plaything. The Word of God has not been taught so that it can then be set aside as interesting, but then something that is called real life kicks in. Look at what he says. "I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me." So God has been teaching the people through Moses so that you may follow them. It is to be done. It is to be done. What does Paul say when he writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3? He says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is interesting? No. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It is useful. We are here and we are listening to the Word of God. And we all are. You're on that side of the lectern. I'm on this side of the lectern. There you are. We've just changed that now, okay? We're all under the same Word. And the Word comes to us so that we might follow, so that we might be discipled by the Word following Jesus. What is the principal means that God uses in the making of disciples? It is His Word. If the Word is not there, the useful thing is not there. Well, let's just turn that round a bit. If we're not listening to the Word, and if we're not listening in order to take it in, then what have we that is going to help us follow? What have we? Will all the other words that crowd into our lives, will they teach us to follow the Lord? No, they won't. They'll teach us to follow people, or trends, or the culture and society, or the easy path. They won't teach us to follow the Lord. Now, this is more than just a plea for Wednesday evenings when we follow through, and you can get them both on sermonaudio.com, Sunday and the following Wednesday. This is more than that, though it is partly that. It is to say that when we gather, and when we're reading the Word of God on our own, we always ought to be hearing with the attitude of, "Now what must I do? What must I follow? What is the Lord Himself saying to me through His Word that is being taught that I must do?" Because it is tragic that you can sit and listen to good, sound Bible teaching year in, year out, and find almost no change of heart. Almost no increase in zeal. Almost no increase in understanding and sanctification, in holiness of life. The word doesn't just have to be preached, the word has to be heard. And God gives us both the teaching and he will give us the hearing so that we might follow. Now, why did they need to follow? And here's the other two so that's. Follow God's word. Well, let's start now back at verse 1. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that. Well, here's the first so that. So that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Here's the first so that. Follow the word. And notice then in verse 2 that Moses says, follow not just this word that I'm about to teach you, but follow all of it. That means don't take any away. And don't add to it either. Don't start following stuff that comes from somewhere else. So follow this word, follow all of it, don't add anything to it, because it is for your good. It will go well with you. First reason to follow the word of God. Because it will go well with you. It makes sense. The word of God is taught to us in Proverbs as being that which is good for our life and for our health. Because if you follow this word, you're going to rule out a whole lot of choices that will lead you into a destructive life. If you follow this word, you will just bypass all those roads. And if you go down those roads, then you'll end up with your body wrecked. You'll end up with your mind corrupted. You'll end up with your conduct destructive. You'll end up way, way less. Not simply of a human being, but you will end up way, way less of a community. Because it was for them all to follow. You go down that line, you go down away from God, you will find yourself going down the lines of, in our culture today, of individualism, secularism. You'll go down the line of self-fulfillment. You'll go down the line of, there's no such thing as truth in any absolute sense, just my truth and your truth. You'll go down the line that says, what's good is what I want to be good. I'll define good, thank you very much. You'll go down the line that says, what is right is what's right for me. You'll go down that line of individualism. You'll go down the line of materialism, which says this awful, awful thing, that the human heart is so tiny that it can be satisfied by some stuff that you can buy from shops or online. What view of your humanity is that to swallow? You actually have a better life and you build better communities when you follow the decrees and laws that God gives. You're not going to earn your way to heaven with them. That only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. But when you follow these, it goes better for you. That's the first reason. This word, all this word, and nothing more than this word, because it is for your good, and it comes from a good God who proved himself to be so good. In verses 3 and 4 there, as Moses refers to it, why do I keep calling him Paul? Maybe that's a word. It is, it's the wrong one. It should be Moses. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. Back to Numbers chapter 25, and we'll look at that a little bit more on Wednesday evening. Numbers 25, 1 through 18. See, do you want to know how good God is? Do you want to know how good his word is? Do you know what a mess you get into when you go and think you know better yourself and wander away from it? Go back to Baal Peor, Moses is saying. And the Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But of all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. This is a good God. This is a good God who sees our weakness and failings, who will judge that which is sin. This is a God who shows mercy. This is the God who is faithful. This is the God who preserves. Despite your idolatry, you're preserved. Despite belonging to a people who went away from God, when you trusted the Lord, held fast to the Lord your God, then look, he gave you life. So follow his ways so that you may live. Back to verse 1. You see the logic of that little first four verses? Follow this word, all of it with nothing added to it. Follow it because it's for your good. It will go well with you. It comes from the good God who has proved his goodness and has proved to you in that goodness that following his way leads to life. And then the second, so that, which comes in verse 6. We have the, see, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully. So this is the same. They observe them carefully in verse 6 there, if you're following it, if you've got it open. And if you're following it, do look at the page, because it's more edifying than looking at my face. It says, observe them carefully for... Well, that parallels what you can read there in verse 1. Follow them, observe them carefully. Follow them so that you. So verse 1, follow them so that you may, etc., is paralleled by the second reason to follow God's word, which has the same kind of phraseology in verse 6. Observe them carefully for. See how the passage works? See how the logic of it works? See how it's, how the thought is structured? So here's the second reason. Not simply so that it will go well for you, first reason, but second reason, so that it will go well for God. So that it will go well for God. In what way? So that it will go well for the honor and glory and reputation of God in all the nations. In all the nations. Put God's word into practice. Because when you do that, you will become an example, a clear example to other people who do not have God's word of what a wonderful God you've got. And that is good for them, and it's good for God. That's what we're talking about with the children. It's the win, win, win. A triple whammy. Follow God's word because it's good for you. First four verses. Follow God's word because it's good for the nations who look to you. Because then they'll honor God. So it's good for God. So when the tear fund workers and others are working away in Haiti, and when people have done a good thing, and we must never, ever minimize the things that are done by people who are not claiming to be Christians, we must never, ever minimize the effectiveness of those actions and the humanitarian value of those actions. But when somebody is there in Jesus' name and they're doing their work in Jesus' way, people who are under the same pressures and tensions, facing the same horrific sights, having to deal with the same constant stresses and strains, without the same resources, who don't have the Word of God to follow, look at those who do have the Word of God to follow and are following it. In the power of the Spirit, what do they see? They see people who are less prone to irritability. They see people who are more willing to go an extra mile with their colleagues. They see people who are able to internally cope with the horrors that are around them. Without resorting to bitterness and cynicism. They see people who are less prone to complaining and grumbling about the resources that are not coming, the help that is not given. Well, Christians are bound because we've had 2,000 years of low resources, things not being given, so we're well used to it. Yeah, we do it cheap, you know. The motto of the church to the world, anything you can do, we can do cheaper. That's what they see. We don't need to go to Haiti, do we? So when you go into the office, into your workplace tomorrow, people can see what your work is like and the way you do it and the kind of colleague you are and the kind of person you are when it seems like nobody else is looking, but in fact they are. And you're following the decrees and the laws of the Lord your God. And they see the difference that it makes. And they look at you, and some of them won't, but some of them will realize that you're different because of your faith in God. That it was our prayer when we were singing just a few moments ago. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness so that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. You see, the obedience, faithful and loving obedience of the children of God to the word of their Father is a means that is so powerful of the mission of God progressing through this world. The Exodus and the entry into the land were part of God's mission. God saved his people so that through them others might turn to him, seeing what he is like in the lives of his people. So that, and let's look at the terminology, you will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Look at the way they live. They've got their act together. They've got it. They're wise and understanding. Their lives aren't falling apart. Their communities aren't falling apart. They've got something. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord your God is near us whenever we pray to him? So Moses says, look, they'll see our wisdom and our understanding, and they'll pick up that our God has the Lord our God near us when we pray. And they'll pick up that our God gives righteous decrees and laws. And they'll be saying, what a God. What a God. I want to know more about that God. I want what they've got. I want to find out about that God. And if following that God does that for your community, does that for your circle of friends, if it does that for you as an individual, then I want to follow that God too. Because that God's better than the gods I've got at the moment, who are slowly but surely destroying me. So when people see a bunch of Christians, or they see one Christian at work, the idea is that they can see that not simply that God's better, but that God can be followed, and that the gods we're under at the moment, individualism, materialism, whatever else, are actually destroying us and our community. Why do we have an expository Bible teaching ministry at Gilcomston? It is so that we might do the word of God, and doing it, we might live and possess God's blessings and enjoy God, yes, because it's good for us. And so that doing it, others might see, so it's good for them, and glorify God, because it's good for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd forgive us for ignoring your word when it can do so much good when followed. We pray, Lord, you would forgive us for our neglect of your word. We pray, Lord, you would forgive us for our listening to it, often, Lord, with little or no intention of following it, doing it. But, Lord, you see that deeper desire in our hearts that you have placed there to do your word. Lord, there is just something about these things that we're looking at today that just resonates with us. We want this. We want this, Lord. And so we pray for a fuller and richer pouring out of your Spirit upon us to work in our hearts, to enable us to follow your decrees and your laws. Lord, you promised it in Deuteronomy to the people that you would do this, that you would cause them to walk in your ways. So, Lord, as we trust you, we pray you would help us this coming week, even today, to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.